Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ben Roy Turner.
Hello there.
And Josh Brown.
Hello there.
Chaps, my friends, my fams, my pals, there continues to be very little going on. So we thought we'd just round up just to give a little bit of hope, a little bit of light on the horizon, a bit of light through the clouds. I've been playing Microsoft Flight Simulator because I need to know what other AAA games are coming for the rest of this year. Now, we did cover last week, we dove into the rest of the stuff that is coming across August. And on the day that we put the podcast up, Kena: Bridge of Spirits got delayed till September. So consider that mentioned. And also go check out that podcast. We covered Ghost of Tsushima Director's Cut, No More Heroes 3, Aliens Fireteam, 12 Minutes, there's a few different things that are still coming for the rest of this month, thankfully. But I think it's worth rounding up everything else that is coming across the next few months, because there's more than you think. Even in my mind, I was like, it's pretty much Halo Infinite, and that's about it, which isn't the case. There's a good handful of stuff to come. I also think we're going to just sort of leap over Metroid Dread, because we've covered it a couple of times before, and I feel like that isn't in the same realm of AAA development as everything else that we're going to be getting to. So we will break some stuff down, starting with Halo Infinite, just because that seems to be a bit of a foregone conclusion in regards to how much they're focusing on the multiplayer, and the hands-on stuff from the weekend's beta test makes it feel very much like an old-school throwback to the original Halo trilogy. Ben Roy, have you had much chance to watch other footage, or where are you at on Halo Infinite in general?
I have mainly just watched Twitter clips being put out by some people like Chris Reagan or whatever, and I did like listen to a bit of not a deep dive, like I'm going to say a medium dive, a little paddle into the game. And from what I've seen, splodge. I'm excited, shall I say. It looks like something different that I've not played in a while, and it looks a bit like Halo, and I've heard that the run speed is only 3% faster than the move speed, which is just a good thing. Like I'm ready, shall I say. I need this game and I'm in a multiplayer sense, and I want to shoot some people and get that needler out.
I do think it's weird that we don't have a date for it. Like, we just kind of have a Q4 2021. It'll just be dropping at some point. And so I'm curious, like, what the overall feel of it is, because we did a little hands-on thing. Me and James Dowse did it. James Dowse managed to get into the beta, so I was talking to him, interrogating him about how it feels. And yeah, you're right. The sprint speed pretty much is the walking speed now, so the overall pace of Halo is a lot faster. And I like how much, like, you know, I think getting Joseph Staten back on board sort of has pointed them back in the right direction. It seems like they're segmenting the campaign. It's going to be multiple campaigns going forward. So I don't know what version we get this year. I think they're just leading with the multiplayer for the most part. Josh, where you are on the whole multiple campaigns, multiplayer trilogy madness?
I think the idea of multiple campaigns could be really interesting. You know, the fact that it seems like most of the rework that was being done once Staten was brought in and once development kind of, you know, restarted again as it was closing up to its launch last year. It seems like the bulk of that has been on the actual campaign. So I'm wondering how much that's changed and kind of how much we're going to get at launch. Are we going to get like this lengthy campaign at launch? Because, you know, for the ages, you know, they've been billing Halo Infinite as like this 10-year experience, right? Like, this is like the Halo for like the next generation, essentially. So it's gonna be interesting, you know, what campaign we get, whether it ends at a cliffhanger, how soon we get the next campaign, and, you know, whether it's going to be like an episodic installment, whether it's going to be like proper, you know, meaty campaigns as they were in the original trilogy or whatever, or kind of like, I'm just interested to see how they're going to roll it out, and more importantly, what the response is going to be to it.
Because is there anyone that you think, like, because I don't really want to, I don't really care about playing a Spartan Locke, but I would totally welcome another Arbiter campaign. So I guess he was sort of sidelined in Halo 5. You can go and talk to him at one point when you go down to like that beach level and he's sort of just hanging out with a bunch of other elites and stuff. I'm kind of thinking, if you were going to segment Halo's campaigns going forward, how exactly do you do that in a way that makes it feel as important as Master Chief?
Well, you bring the... Oh, sorry. I just did the Zoom call thing.
We're on a Zoom call.
You're bringing the Brutes back, right? And there's so many connections back when we had Taylor too, like how they were shafting out Arbiter and all his mates in the last time we sort of like had it all there. So I think you could maybe call back to that and like have a bit more of the inter species in interplanetary or all the covenant politics and bring that all back to the forefront rather than the fake lie that we had where Master Chief was turning naughty. So I would love them to lean on that, but also I would love to know what Josh Brown was going to say.
Yes.
I actually can't remember what I was going to say. I think it was something to do with them splitting them up, like you just said. I feel like, you know, they've excelled in the past, not this team, obviously, but the Halo franchise has sometimes excelled where they've done, like, you know, side stories, like ODST was really well received. So if they kind of like went down that route, of course, yeah. I think like if they go down like that route with like these new characters, maybe different perspectives on the you know, campaign that we've just played or whatever, as long as it feels substantial and as long as the storytelling is good, like I think they can pull it off. There's no reason why this series necessarily has to stick with Master Chief and Master Chief only. It obviously hasn't in the past. It only becomes a problem when you get a situation like Halo 5 where you get like, you know, the marketing situation is completely different from the game situation, and there's a certain level of expectation that you're playing a certain story and then you don't get that you're playing someone else for the majority of the game. That's when there's an issue, but I don't think there's anything inherently bad with swapping up perspectives, having different campaigns.
I think it could be cool, and I love the idea of like potentially playing as a Brute or like playing as another Elite or something. Like I said, I would do a total Arbiter campaign. Let me play as a little grunt dude running around with my twin plasma grenades and stuff. That'd be cool. But do you think they will literally discard the, like, because it was originally going to be a trilogy, like 1, 2, and 3 is a trilogy, 4, 5, and 6 are a trilogy, and then we ended 5 almost discarded a lot of the stuff with Cortana from 4, kind of just made her this big villain by the end of 5, and we ended on the cliffhanger. And it's like, do you think it's easier to just sort of kind of go, that's over there somewhere, and we'll get back to that at some point? Because I don't even know which of 343's lead scribes were even pushing for that in the first place.
It kind of feels like that from the last trailer we got, when someone referenced Cortana, I'm pretty sure, referenced literally in a way that we were like, yeah, she's over there somewhere. I feel like there's going to be maybe 2 or 3 major stories that all intersect around what's going on, where do we know exactly what Master Chief's doing, bouncing around with his new little mate. We have the Brutes over there being, I'm going to destroy you, I'm the Dark Lord. And then whatever Cortana's doing, maybe sort of like in the vein of trying to liberate AI as its own new species and things like that we could have going forward. So that, I feel there's a lot of scope to it. And I'm never against Halo games without Master Chief. ODST is one of my favorite ones. Like ODST, even though it was like a short and sweet experience, I enjoyed it for what it was. But I feel like if you're going to go forward forever, you can't just kill him off. And you can also get around it because you never see him. And he's also like a super soldier. And you'd be like, oh, they just put some more serum in him and now he's alive for another 100 years. But I reckon maybe do every, like, say, 3 games, go the every third game, he's in it. But you can never remove the Master Chief from Halo. I think it's too in there.
It makes you wonder, like, if they go, because obviously it's called Halo Infinite, and I remember them doing a whole bunch of interviews back when Halo 5 the Guardians dropped, and they said that they only put the 5 on there as more of like a continuative thing. It was more like, we at some point we want to ditch numbers and just have like Halo as a platform, which obviously why Halo Infinite is kind of numbered towards. So I wonder how much the multiplayer is just the thing going forward, because even this year it's going to be going up against Battlefield 2042, and which we can talk about in a bit, but that doesn't even have a campaign. That's just going to be a multiplayer platform. And I just kind of wonder, like, if you're the next generation of gamers, you're not us, you grew up with the trilogy, do you even really care about the campaign? Like, does Master Chief mean as much to you? I mean, he might just be the dude from Fortnite at this point, and it's like, well, I guess I'll go see what his like main story is. But I guess I'm curious how that stuff goes down.
Yeah, 100%. It's I'm curious, and I need to know, and I think we need to, where's our date? That's what I want to finish my state on this with. Where's our date?
Same. Where is our date? We need it, man. We're in August now at the time of recording, and there's no date for Halo Infinite. It has to be November, surely.
You'd assume so. It just says Q4 on Wikipedia.
Is Horizon officially delayed yet? Yep. Was it officially delayed? Did they say it? Did I? Oh, damn you, Jim.
Or maybe not, like, It was not corroborated. Official, it was yeah. It's been corroborated by a bunch of different, like a few different sources. So it's like it is happening. But I mean, this is meant to be another state of play, and then I guess they'll have to say something then. But yeah, in regards to Sony stuff, it's Sony are sitting out the rest of 2021 for the most part. And we might as well talk about Battlefield 2042. It is to cover another first person shooter. There's another two first person shooters on here. Another two first person games. Josh, you're the biggest Battlefield fan out of the three of us. Are you on the hype train? Are you flying the hype?
I really am. You know, it's funny. I never expected going into this year. Well, I never expected a lot of things going into this year, but I certainly didn't expect EA Play to be one of the best conferences that we had this year. And I came out of that really energized about what they had on the table, especially Battlefield and the new Battlefield, because, you know, they showed off that whole Portal gimmick, the idea that you can go back to previous Battlefield games, whether it's Battlefield by Company, whether it's, you know, Battlefield 3, Battlefield 4, whatever, and mix and match elements of those titles, whether it's you know, the way characters look, whether it's period authentic weaponry, whether it's specific maps. And to have that bundled into this, you know, new game, essentially, for me, it's just kind of like a longtime fan's dream come true. Like, even just hearing them say the words Bad Company 2 filled me with joy, and seeing some of those maps kind of like redone, up-res and stuff, like, was just everything that I wanted. If they're building this as a legacy platform as much as they are the next game or a sequel, I feel like that's such a smart move to synergize the new thing with the old thing that people obviously have a lot of fondness for. And, you know, that's only one element. That's not even the main part of the game. That's just this thing that I can't remember what the new studio is called, but they used to be called Dice LA. It's essentially that same team. Like, they're working on this while Dice Sweden works on the actual main game. I think it's Sweden. Have I mentioned that? Stop.
They're all Dice to me. Don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot of different Dice. The quote-unquote main Dice studio. There's a lot of them, at least there were. Yeah, while they work on like the core multiplayer experience. So I'm buzzing for every single thing that they've shown off so far, honestly. I think it all looks exactly what I wanted out of this kind of return to form.
Because with Battlefield as well, it's kind of like, it's easy to forget that they did do campaigns for Battlefield 3, 4, and Hardline. The dude from The Shield was in Battlefield Hardline, and it's like they used to do, like, make some of a point of doing like a first-person shooter campaign type thing, but they're not doing it this year. Do you think that's a misstep? Or do you think, like, because I personally don't care. Like, Battlefield I go to for the multiplayer.
It's funny, man. When a franchise like this that used to have a campaign component, when it was omitted, I used to go nuts, because I was like, that's a huge part of the experience. It's one of the pillars. You know, when Call of Duty decided not to put a campaign in Black Ops 4, like, I thought that was a huge missed opportunity, because I really enjoy playing the Call of Duty campaigns.
That was the plan, wasn't it? And then they had to be like, oh, we can't actually make this, like, development-wise.
In Call of Duty, you mean?
In Black Ops 4, because they had all the cutscenes they left in, and I thought it was like a thing where they couldn't hit the deadline or something.
It was, according to the reports that came out, they were trying this kind of experimental, like, 2v2 thing. So it was a campaign, but it was also online, where you kind of had this PvP element. And it was kind of weird, but yeah, like you said, you know, it ultimately got scrapped. They replaced it with Battle Royale. Am I thinking of the right battle? It doesn't matter. One of the Call of Duties, whichever one, they all blur. But when it comes to this game, I'm like, nah, the Battlefield campaigns have never been up there for me. Yeah, like you say, they've been cinematic. Yeah, they've had a lot of money pumped into them, evidently. Well, they have done interesting things. The Battlefield 1 campaign was all right. The Battlefield 4 campaign was okay. I'd rather them focus on multiplayer, because multiplayer is what you come to for Battlefield. You know, that is the core of the experience. That's the thing that's going to keep it running. And if they manage to nail that, like, that's all I'm here for, essentially. Yeah. And I know a lot of people might not be, but for me, I think the development's better served pumping it all in to a, you know, solid and robust multiplayer offering.
I hope that it's easy to do the stupid kills they've shown. Like, I want to launch a Jeep into a helicopter. I want to, like, be able to do some crazy, I want to leap out an F-16 and bazooka the next plane that's next to me and stuff. Benroy, does Battlefield 2042 seem like enough to pry you away from a month's worth of PUBG?
No.
I don't think so.
I could ramble out more, saying that I've never gone into the deep end for Battlefield, but at the same time, you don't need to hear it. I think I've said this like three or four
times. Do you want to throw a Jeep
now
at a plane, mate?
Nah, I'll wait until I can throw an APST, an ATAT, or something like that.
Oh, if they take all the lessons learned from 2042 and apply it to Battlefront 3, then yes, just the Hoth, like, just take Hoth and times it by 10 or something. But yeah, Battlefield 2042, I mean, obviously, like, the end of this year, we don't even know what this year's Call of Duty is, like, not in an official capacity, but assumedly that'll be the trifecta for the first time in a few years, where all three games have had new installments. It's weird with Halo as well, because it feels like a lot of the momentum's coming back, but in very specific circles. Like, even our our coverage hasn't done like massive numbers on it. And it's like, to me, it's Halo. It's a big old deal. But then I can also see the total disconnect in terms of it's for a certain generation. So I'm kind of curious how that stuff all clashes. Let's talk about Death Stranding Director's Cut. Because we can also roll in the ongoing madness around the idea that the Director's Cut trailer was very Metal Gear Solid in terms of the way that it was shot, in terms of the music that was used. It was very much hinting or like very much channeling Metal Gear Solid. And one of the newest rumors for that abandoned thing, because there was like a blurred face that's appeared behind the abandoned logo of a dude with an eye patch, which is on the same eye as what Solid Snake wears in Metal Gear Solid 4. And the part of the whole Death Stranding Director's Cut thing is, are we building to this big old reveal of also what the hell the abandoned thing is? Where are you guys on Death Stranding Director's Cut? And I guess you might as well throw in this abandoned thing as well.
Come on, Ben Roy, you've got a face on you. I'm excited for what this means.
I saw something yesterday, yeah, and wow, Metal Gear Silent. I'm just like, I need this to leave me alone. I need this out of my life. And even though that the asset they used was just an Unreal Engine man with eye patch on,
yep,
they still did it. And if this Hassan Karaman, aka however you translate that into Kojima?
Yeah, like, I think Karaman becomes Kojima.
If this is Kojima, like, oh, I've got them. Go away, mate. You've got it. I can't even with this. And I, for lack of better terms, like, what's going on? Like this abandoned thing. Like that going back to Death Stranding trailer.
I only mentioned it because it's funny. The coming out is Death Stranding.
He's wearing he's got like a Norwegian flag on him, and that like ties it to like Blue Point in some way, or.
I think Blue Point are based out of, well, I don't know, actually, maybe it's where they're from. I thought they were from the Netherlands.
I've listened to a few of these massive pull downs, and as much as I would like to say, yeah, more Death Stranding, at the same time, I don't care. I want to know what this abandoned thing is like. What's going on? And then Kojima's like, oh, I didn't cut the trailer myself. So was it just Jim Ryan at night, like, sort of, oh yeah, I'm gonna.
I thought his whole thing was that he made like a whole tweet saying he was cutting stuff himself. But if someone else has got hands on,
yeah, because I think he was annoyed that wasn't. Like, okay. I'm so confused with it all. But what I will say is, if no one's played Death Stranding, Game of the Year 2019, it should have.
It was up there. Like, yeah, it was up there apart from the end for me.
Resident Evil 2, yeah. Uh-huh. Ending's pretty fabulous, I'd say. I'd say if anyone's not played it, play it because it's a great game. And I'm now going to hand it to someone else because otherwise I'm going to ramble around about that stupid...
There's a weird energy around everything to do with Abandoned where like the date that's penciled in for where they're going to release stuff is the 10th of August. So that's obviously next week. So I guess we'll see whatever the hell
it is.
Is
the official date or is that the app? Or is the app out now?
That's when the app is going to show what it is. So no, the app's already out. The app's like ticking over right now. You can go watch a blurry face do nothing right now if you want. And people have realized... Yeah, I haven't got it yet. I've refused to buy into that. I will go and check it out though. But yeah, there's like a room and a face that are slowly coming into view. And the day that it ticks over is the 10th of August, which what if that's the same day as the Death Stranding trailer? I don't know. What if this is some sort of Konami Kojima shared universe?
Is it we'll have to wait and see.
Maybe after all, it's everything that we wanted. Josh, very quick thoughts on Death Stranding Director's Cut and everything relating to all of it.
Death Stranding's Directing Cut, totally here for. I want to play with all of those new gadgets. I want my little robot buddy. I want to go through the whole entire game again and finally platinum it. When it comes to Abandoned, either way, it's winding me up. Whether it's some kind of massive ruse, whether Kojima's in it, whether it is Silent Hill, whether it is Metal Gear, it's wound me up. Whether it's not that, whether it is sincere, whether it is a new game, it's also wound me up the way it's been kind of portrayed. And I'm just kind of like, right, okay, this has been going on for too long. I don't mind jumping into the madness. We did that really fun video, Scott Hill, when it was all breaking, jumping into the madness. But I feel like this particular bit of madness has been dragged out a long, long time. And whichever way it goes, I'm kind of like, either it's the biggest, best, you know, kind of marketing gimmick from a new developer ever to play on all of these, you know.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Kind of assumptions that gamers have, you know, assuming it's bigger than what it is. Like, that could be quite cool. It's either that, or it's just like the most thinly veiled ruse ever from Kojima. Like, if all of the stuff is right, you've got a guy with an eye patch. Obviously, people are going to think of Metal Gear Solid. Yeah. You've got them teasing that the game starts and then starts with S, ends with L. So obviously, people are going to think.
Yeah, they haven't even revealed that. Yeah, yeah.
If this is a genius like piece of viral marketing supposed to obfuscate what it really is, then they're doing a bad job of it. Like, if it is Kojima, I expect more, but I don't think it is.
It's kind of like, imagine Kojima's sneaking through Sony headquarters in a cardboard box going tee-hee-hee, and Jim's like, what are you doing, mate? And he's like, tee-hee, and you're like, we can see you. And everyone's like, he thinks no one can see him. It's either that or this Hassan Karaman guy. No one knows who he is. No one's ever met him. No one's ever touched this human apart from Kojima with his big cattle print.
All of his videos are uploaded from a dark room as well. Like, he's
held at some sort of like weapon point. And if it's a lie, if it's just them doing some asset flip, which it can't be, because Sony doesn't just give anyone this magical like space for the I mean, I'm so excited for it. I'm really excited. I'm ramping up because I'm also angry at the same time, because I need to know, give me what I want, but it's crushing.
I just wonder if it literally, because I mean, who else other than Kojima has tried this stuff? And maybe it took this long for someone to just come along, indie developer Hassan Karaman, who's like, I'm a big Kojima fan. I've got this game to reveal. Why don't I do something fun? And I think
it's Sony. They bury their own games.
But why wouldn't they though? Like, if you were an indie, I mean, who else has tried to ask? It's not like we have many reports of people going, well, we tried this multifaceted, you know, way of rolling the game out, and they said no. Maybe all it took was someone asking. Like, I don't know. I wonder if the simplest explanation is the actual one, but it's just, it's a weird thing. I'm just curious what it is. I have a sinking feeling, a gut feeling that it is just a very low budget Silent Hill, first person PT style horror game. And I think that it's just Karaman getting a bit carried away with it. But at the same time, it's got a hell of a lot of momentum. But I think it's very telling that no one's actually got the app. We're all just kind of waiting around for the next like Twitter update. I didn't think they didn't really front load it very much on the PlayStation Store, so it's like you can go looking for it, but it's not like they got out there and the app numbers or the Twitter, the social media stuff doesn't seem to reflect the overall conversation on it. It's not like we're all waiting to see what it is. It's backfired.
It's Judgment Day. If you download it, your PS5 will then just like sprout legs and arms, and it's going to strangle you. It's going to grab you when you're not watching, and then that's it. You're done. That's
at least that'll be something at this stage. But yeah, we'll know. I think this time next week we'll know by the 10th. So it's this time next week we will be finding out what the hell Abandoned really is. But for now, let's move on to another first person game. Let's talk about Far Cry 6, because I feel like we've talked about Deathloop a lot. We'll get to Deathloop in a sec. But I keep forgetting Far Cry 6 is even coming, because it got pushed back quite a lot. And I feel like the marketing sort of dropped away from it. And I wonder if it'll just ramp back up in the month of October. But where are you guys on Far Cry in general? Are you psyched for Far Cry 6? For me, it feels like forever since Far Cry 5, with everything but Joseph Seed and all the stuff that they did with that, and the weird detonation nuclear ending that became New Dawn and all that kind of stuff. Josh, you're a Far Cry fan. Are you?
I am.
Are you psyched?
I'm not psyched. I'm going to play it. You know, tentatively looking forward to it. I think, you know, the stuff that we've seen so far looks quite interesting. It looks like more Far Cry, maybe on a more bombastic scale. And that's cool. You know, it's one of those games that I just, because it's Far Cry 6, because I've played so many Far Cry games, and now I've seen so much, you know, footage from it. We've seen a bunch of trailers with Giancarlo Esposito, obviously, who is a great actor, played Gus, played the guy from The Mandalorian, forgotten his name, the guy, Moff Gideon,
Moff Gideon.
Obviously, you know, I'm really excited that he's you know, involved in this major way. But it's just like, it's coming out this year, I'm going to play it, and it's and I almost have nothing else to say in it. It is Far Cry.
It's more Far Cry.
I know what Far Cry is, and it looks good. It looks like a good one, and I hope it's a good one, but it's like, I will continue to forget about it until I have it in my hands. And I don't mean that in like a negative way. If people are
looking forward to it, that's cool, but it's Far Cry 6,
isn't it? Just, that's it, man. Like, we're so far along in this franchise. We've played so many of them. There's only, I have a ceiling when it comes to my excitement for the franchise at this point, but that doesn't mean it's going to be bad.
That was kind of my thing with 5. I just sort of bottomed out on it, where I was like, okay, it's this again. Like, for me, the last time they could get away with doing that again was actually Far Cry 4, for how close it was to 3. And then we did Primal, and it was like, okay, now we got into 5. It's another crazy villain, like, talking to you in first person. And it's like, okay, can we try something else? I know with Far Cry 6, they got out there and showed that cutscene of Giancarlo Esposito, like, going into, like, a ship, and it's all in third person, and you get to see your character more and stuff like that. So I kind of hope they're fleshing that side of it out a bit more. But, yeah, I don't know. At the same time, it's just more Far Cry. Ben, are you a Far Cry-sman? How are you on this game?
I'm just gonna say what Andrew did with Josh, where they mentioned Bad Company 2, and now Josh is gonna buy the £60,000 edition. As soon as they had Giancarlo Esposito in this, I was like, I'm in. You've sold me. I'm sorry, you've got my coins. That I haven't pre-ordered it yet, but I'll, like, you know, you pre-order it the week before so you can get it on the day. But no, I think I've said before, the only Far Cry I've ever played was number 1 and then number 5.
Oh yeah, so it was, yeah.
I'm not burnt out on this at all, and I'm ready to get involved. And this is one of the, like, I'm getting Halo, but it doesn't feel like I'm buying Halo because it's on Game Pass, right? But this and Deathloop are like the last two big games I can really think I'm going to be investing a lot of time in, unless something pulls me in at the last sort of minute. But the way things keep getting chucked out of the year, and it's just going to be this and Hassan Karaman just like sitting there presenting me new things. But I'm really in for more Far Cry, and I think I'm feeling one of those sort of like open world, tick some of the stuff of the boxes, especially after I've gone back to a lot of older stuff recently. I'm looking forward to playing something new again.
My thing with Far Cry is that I kind of hope they tweak the health system a little bit, because I feel like you never have enough health to get as involved in the carnage as they kind of want you to. Like, a lot of the trailers are like, oh, you can go do all this insane stuff and you can pilot this jeep into something else. And like, I remember in Far Cry 4, you can leap on top of an elephant and go and like trash an entire settlement, and that stuff is great. But like, when I tried a lot of those things in 5, it was just like, I'm dead in like 3 hits, or I'm getting that wounded state where I'm constantly patching his wrist up every 10 seconds. And I was like, I kind of want to bit more health. I kind of want to be a bit more of a tank. Like, let me have a more full-on escapist power fantasy, if that's what we're going for. Which I guess in the trailers it kind of looks like that. They've got like that back, like a jetpack on his the like rocket mounted jetpack thing. So it seems like they're doing like even more overblown weapons and stuff. And you can fire songs at people. You can like collect a seed, like a soundtrack collection, and then shoot songs at them, which sounds kind of cool. But yeah, you mentioned Deathloop before, which is another game for this year. I'm personally completely checked out of Deathloop. I really didn't like Dishonored 2. But I think both you guys are way more into it than me.
100%. Like, at the start of this year, I think we did a Chatty Faces on the most anticipated game of the year, and at that point it was Deathloop. You know, it's just been delayed so much that we've seen so much of it as well. It's Sony State of Play before then. We've seen all of these different kind of like, you know, playthroughs of levels, to the point where I'm like starting to avoid every single time one of these new things is released, because it's like, I don't want to see any levels. I want to experience this for myself. And I've seen all I need to see. I'm still very excited about it. I really enjoy what Arkane has done in the past, and I think it's got a neat setup. The aesthetic looks cool. The soundtrack sounds awesome. And at this point, it's just one of those games where I'm like, I'm sold on it. I've been sold on it for like a year now. And now I'm just waiting to hopefully have it in my hands in a month's time.
I do have a question. Do you know what Deathloop is? Because I don't. I feel like when they started announcing it, it was like this like sort of online, like people can invade your game, and it was like multiplayer, and there was like targets to chase after, but it was a group of people doing it. And then they showed off like a single player campaign thing, which was a lot more like Dishonored. So I literally don't know what Deathloop is. Like, I've like watched the footage and I don't know what the game is.
Interesting.
Like, I don't know.
Explain it to you on top of what's already been released.
I guess, like, does it strike you as like a single player focus or a multiplayer focus?
Well, I think it's intentionally a blend, but there's obviously like, you know, a big single player component there. You know, even if it is multiplayer, it would only be, as far as I'm aware, you versus that one other person, that you know, other assassin that can come into your world and try to kind of like counter you and stuff. But it feels very much like it's still tailored around kind of a solo experience, at least you know, on your end, there's still like targets to take out. There's still the idea of you repeating the loop and repeating the level and trying to find the most, efficient way through it to master the environment as much as you're mastering any other player or any of the AI and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that kind of like multiplayer element looks neat, but first and foremost, I like the fact that it is based around this, the titular loop. You know, it's based around this almost kind of like roguelike kind of repeated level design. And I've really enjoyed that in the DLC for Prey. So I'm pleased that they're taking that and kind of like blowing it out into a full game. So, it's obviously this kind of like weird blend. They might not have really explained those elements as best they could, but I feel like, I don't know, I feel like I know what it is. Maybe I'm completely off base, who knows?
Well, I think you've probably been following it more than me because you were more of a fan of the Dishonored games and then Prey. Whereas like for me, I've watched two gameplay showcases for it, and I don't get what it is. Like, am I going up against other players? Is it a single player thing? How much is it Dishonored? But Benroy, where are you at on, I guess, Arcane and stuff in general, like Dishonored stuff, Prey stuff, and then now Deathloop?
It seems like a jazzy rebrand of like the Arcane, some of the Arcane like staples, which I'm here for. Like as well received as like Prey and Dishonored World, I don't think they both set the world on fire in like terms of sales. I guess that isn't as important anymore as we move to this. Well, obviously this is a PlayStation game, which will eventually come to Xbox, even though it's never been announced that yet. But I've done a full Josh Brown, and since like the second trailer, I think the first one, I've not looked on it since. I got the star, I got sort of the gist of what it was going to be. And I've just not watched anything else. I'm gonna play it when it comes out, and I can't wait for something sort of fresh and new. And it's only on PS5 as well, and I probably wouldn't have played anything like it this year, let alone maybe in the past few years. I believe in Arcane. They had a misstep with Youngblood, but I'm ready for them to be back.
Was that them?
Heart.
Was that Youngblood them?
I'm pretty sure they were thrown onto it.
Sweet now Lord, I thought that was Machine Games, but. I'm hoping that it is. I mean, it is a PS5 exclusive. I hope that like it makes the most of next gen in a way that other stuff couldn't. I guess with all the Deathloop stuff, all the different ways you can respawn and ways you can go after targets and stuff, I hope they do something cool on the rendering side, because I love what Arcane bring to the industry. I've just never personally clicked with anything that they've done since the original Dishonored, and I kind of want I just want that feel again where you're sort of like improvising ways to go and take out targets and stuff, but in like a satisfying, the actual way that you move through the game feels satisfying.
Sorry, you say Youngblood was them and Machine Games, but I think it was mainly them because they were in between projects or something like that. But okay. I we don't have anything style wise like that now for alone the cool style of it, and they lean into a bit of the Bond stuff, which I didn't need to be sold on it, but yeah, I can't admit that I'm not gonna be a bit of Bond.
Old school, so 70 it's spies.
Been, it's been so long since I've had anything James Bond.
It's been a long time, though. If you've been rebuying a lot of old games, you go and get yourself James Bond Everything or Nothing, the best Bond game ever made.
I would buy it again, but it's in a basement down in the south of this country, and I'd refuse to pay for it again.
It's worth the mish. Speaking of things that may or may not be worth the mish, though, Guardians of the Galaxy is this year. A game that I thought looked quite promising, but then when you sort of take a step back and look at it, it's like, this looks a bit like Avengers DLC. But the things that make me think it's going to be a bit better than that is the conversation options, is the fact that you can interject when the whole crew's arguing, and it kind of feels like you're in the ship with the Guardians. I know that they're very much channeling the MCU, but then they don't have the likenesses. So it potentially has that same problem as the Avengers did, where it only reminds you of the thing you wish that you were looking at, or the thing that you wish that you were playing. Are either of you guys bothered about Guardians? I absolutely get the meh response to it, especially when the trailer had like, I think it had Holding Out for a Hero on again, which seems to be the only song that's on everything right now.
I'll definitely get it. You know, I feel like it had a more confident showing than the Avengers, you know, even if there are those obvious kind of, you know, MCU comparisons. Of course, we're going to compare it to the MCU. The Guardians of the Galaxy movies in particular were hugely successful. I really love them, especially the second one. I can't say I've ever read a Guardians of the Galaxy comic, so I don't know what they're necessarily drawing from. But I feel like there's more of a creative flair to this than the Avengers ever had. The fact that I'm not just beating up robots in a warehouse for one is already a huge improvement. The fact that the worlds look visually interesting, like you said, it kind of feels like they've got like the character banter down. The fact that you can choose different dialogue options that have kind of like subtle ramifications on how a level plays out or whatever, like that's an interesting hook. I want to know what they do with that. But ultimately, you know, it's what I wanted, hopefully, the Avengers to be, this kind of like single player focused brawler, essentially, in really spectacular places with spectacular characters. And, you know, I think the developers are really solid, and I hope that they are able to, you know, just deliver a good superhero game, because it feels like it's been ages since we've had one, even though we've obviously had the two Spider-Man titles. It feels like outside of that world, outside of
Insomniac, wider power sets,
yeah, we haven't had you know, a really, really good licensed superhero game outside of the world of Spider-Man, and it feels like there are so many opportunities, and this is one.
Yeah. I think, I mean, this is a long time coming. I think it's a weird thing, because Avengers felt like it completely missed its window. Like, it came out after Endgame, and it came out way after the 2012 Avengers. And it feels like with this, we're long after Guardians 1 and 2, and we're in that little period right now where we're in between Guardians 2 and 3. And so it's not like Guardians are being talked about that much. And the thing that they're drawing from, it's a lot of reference points from, it feels like a lot of reference points from the first couple of movies. And then obviously, like, the design of Gamora is straight from the comics rather than the MCU one. So I guess they can kind of like play into the wider stuff. But yeah, Benroy, where are you on Guardians of the Galaxy?
I was, as predicted, I'm kind of like, I'm fine. I'm more interested now with that Suicide Squad game that we've seen nothing about after seeing
the Suicide Squad movie.
Mm. But after seeing that, I want to see what happens to that game. For this,
King
though,
Shark, brother.
Yeah, nom nom. He's great in that, by the way. It's a brilliant movie. Everyone go and see it when you can. Though this one, I'm never the biggest. I didn't even know they, like Josh, I've never read one of these comics, didn't know they existed. I hate to shoot on a game that I've not played and probably won't play for a while, but at the same time, I'm not sold on what's there, and I also don't trust them after the Avengers. And even though it's probably going to be totally different, it's probably going to be great in some people's game of the year, I'm going to be playing Deathloop, and I'm going to be playing Far Cry 6, and then I'm probably going to be playing something on PS3.
I'll tell you what else you'd be playing, mate. Dying Light 2. That's the other game.
I'll be playing that game.
There you go. One of the games that got pushed. I think it's now coming in December. Zombies, Dying Light 2, mate. Staying Alive, I think it's called, which is a great name. But yeah, Dying Light 2, one thing that's been mentioned for many years. I feel like it kind of got tangled up with Dead Island 2 for a long time as well. But everything that they've shown for Dying Light 2 actually looks brilliant, like in terms of the actual gameplay, the way that they can kind of do this parkour meets zombie slaying stuff. Have you guys been keeping up with the gameplay stuff? Or, like, I guess, where are you guys at on Dying Light 2? Because both of you played way more of the original than I did.
I was excited about it 2 years ago. I was really looking forward to it. Like, literally years ago at this point, when it was first announced, when they first went into that kind of like weird story-driven thing, where they were like, you can have, you know, dialogue options, you can change the way the story plays out with whatever you do and stuff. I was like, that's neat, but it feels like they've almost buckled under that ambition. And I think there were a few reports coming out about just like how fractured the development was and stuff, which is evident by all of the delays, and the fact that it's now coming out in December of, you know, this year. It just almost feels like they've picked that date just to be like, right, get it out before the year's over. You can have this right until the wire. And I hope to be proven wrong. I hope all of that delay, all of those delays and all of the time spent working on it amounts to a solid game. And because I've really enjoyed Dying Light 1, especially the gameplay loop, I will be there for it depending on the reviews. But yeah, it's just one of those things where it's like, right, you've almost overstayed your welcome a little bit, and you've kind of peaked in the hype and now you're on the way back down. But I hope, you know, that doesn't damage it, and I hope it is at least a worthwhile time.
I'm sure Techland, I haven't got the articles to hand, but I'm pretty sure, like you said, there were reports about how ridiculous the development was. I'm sure they had a whole massive problem with a creative lead. Like, I'm sure the guy that owns Techland is like an absolute maniac. If I'm getting the studio wrong, then whatever. But I'm sure that was one of the reasons that everything got pushed around. There was all these different versions of the game that were being pitched and changed, and like, he was securing more funding, then they couldn't meet that, so they would add more stuff on to get more funding, and they couldn't meet that. And it feels like at whatever time someone's come in and just sort of drawn a through line through all of it and got, okay, this is the game, we're actually going to be able to get that out, because for the longest time it seemed like it was just going to be indefinitely cancelled, or at least not make a window this year. But yeah, that'll be the thing that closes out the year. Benroy, you're a big old zombie fan. Dying Light 2 on your radar?
I didn't play Dying Light for the longest time, actually, when it first came out, and then I finally jumped in with a bunch of friends, and it was a really weird, like, fun multiplayer experience for them. then this one, if it was like anything connected with Dead Island, has that weird rancid DNA where it'll just be in announcement. I remember like watching Dead Island 1's trailer before the slow motion music, like pre I was in university, like, oh, the zombie game, you can smack the zombies in the face. I think it was going to be on like PS2 back then or something. Right. Anything connected in this lineage of zombie games, what I'm saying is, I feel like it's cursed. And the fact that this is coming out before Dead Island 2 as well, which is brilliant, by the way. I'm going to probably get it straight away. Like, it's a December game. It's weird. That's the time that I wake the Switch up and play something on the Switch. So we'll have to see where I am in the country at that point. But I am going to be getting this game. It's on my radar. I want it. And I like the zombies.
Do you have? That's the thing. It's like having faith in it, because that team obviously did Dead Island and then they moved off to do Dying Light. Dead Island kind of fell apart. Dying Light's really solid. That's like the one game out of the last 10 years for both these franchises that's totally solid. And then it just feels like this looks really promising and hopefully can bring it together in the end. I just like the idea of parkour zombie killing. I feel like that's something that maybe could have taken off a lot more if the original Dying Light had the spotlight on it the way that Dead Island did. It just feels like it was a bit of a missed opportunity. But what are you, before closing thoughts, what are either of your general thoughts on, I guess, going into the back half of the year, the sort of the last chunk of the year? Where are you guys at right now?
A lot of variables, a few must plays, a few things I'm cautiously optimistic about, a few that could potentially surprise me, but I do feel like, you know, I don't know, I feel like the potential to succeed and the potential to fail is maybe there in equal measure. And I think at the very least, games are going to be finally coming out. We're going to have something to talk about, which is always nice. We're going to have some nice debates over these games, whether we think they're good, whether we think they're bad, all of that juicy stuff.
I'm looking forward to the Halo Infinite debate, where just to see what the hell that game even is, and Death Stranding as well. I mean, I'm sure we'll have Metal Gear Solid and Silent Hill by this time next week. Ben Roy, thoughts on the close of 2021?
I can't wait to start playing the new Gears 5 Battle Pass and the new
That's where we're at.
Battle Pass. Yes. Good. No, I'm really excited, actually. I was thinking about we did the pod last week and I was like, oh, there's not really anything else I want this year. I've had my Resident Evils, I've experienced Mass Effect. What else can happen to me now?
Metroid, mate, it's right there.
Yeah, but I'm not paying the Nintendo blood money for that. So I'm excited for three games. Deathloop, I forget the other one because I was that excited for it, and then Dying Light on Halo. I'm excited for these games, and I don't believe Halo is coming out at this point if it's not got a date, and I just want to find where Hassan Karaman is so I can shake him very nicely until he tells me what that game is.
We will report in next week. We'll see what happens, because it depends on the UK time versus the time around the world whenever the abandoned thing unlocks or reveals whatever the hell it is. But we'll probably do some sort of discussion on, I don't know, getting carried away or getting everything that you could ever want. I guess we'll see however it goes next Tuesday. But for now, this has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tailford, joined by Ben Roy Turner.
I'm going to go to bed now.
And Josh Brown.
Bye-bye.
And we'll catch you next week. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.